Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. The two major presidential candidates held competing televised town hall events last night. Democrat Joe Biden said the president misled the nation on the danger of the coronavirus pandemic.
I pointed out that I thought in February, I did a piece for USA Today saying this is a serious problem. Trump denied it. He said it wasn't. We later learned that he knew full well how serious it was when he did an interview with Bob Woodward. And at the time, he said he didn't tell anybody because he was afraid Americans would panic. Americans don't panic. He panicked. He didn't say a word to anybody.
At his town hall, the president said he's done a good job.
We're a winner on the excess mortality. And what we've done has been amazing. And we have done an amazing job. And it's rounding the corner, and we have the vaccines coming, and we have the therapies coming.
Trump and Biden are scheduled to have a second debate next week. The chairman of the Federal Communications Commission is backing President Trump's drive to limit legal protections that shield social media companies. As NPR's Bobby Allen reports, it comes as Facebook, Twitter, and other major online platforms ramp up measures to limit the reach of misinformation online.
FCC Chairman Anjit Pai says a legal shield known as Section 230 does not give social media companies, quote, special immunity. That runs counter to the view of legal scholars who say Section 230 does grant broad protections to social networks. Pai, who was appointed by Trump, says the FCC will write a rule to clarify that the law would make social media companies legally responsible for their content. Critics of the president question the timing of the announcement, coming less than 3 weeks before an election and as Trump ramps up his calls for Facebook and Twitter to be punished. It's not clear what effect the FCC rule would have, especially as Congress debates major overhauls to the law. Bobby Allen, NPR News, San Francisco.
A Texas state court has blocked Governor Greg Abbott's order limiting counties to a single drop-off site for mail-in ballots. Andrew Schneider of Houston Public Radio reports.
The suit challenging Abbott's order was filed by the Anti-Defamation League. Mark Tobin is ADL's Southwest Region Director.
The judge has ruled in our favor and determined that Governor Abbott's October 1 proclamation and the order that was contained in it, which stated that every county had to be limited to one location for voters to drop off their absentee ballots if they wanted to do that in person instead of using the mail, that order has now been suspended.
The ruling comes just days after a federal appeals court upheld Abbott's single drop-box order in a parallel suit. It's likely Texas will immediately appeal the state court decision. For NPR News, I'm Andrew Schneider in Houston.
You're listening to NPR News. A major wildfire in the Rocky Mountains is now the largest in Colorado's history. The Cameron Peak Fire has now burned 256 square miles. Officials are calling for communities near Rocky Mountain National Park to be evacuated, affecting hundreds of cabins. The fire began in mid-August and has damaged or destroyed about 100 buildings. A research project in Canada's capital city has found shockingly high levels of the coronavirus in wastewater. Dan Karpinchuk reports.
The project to measure COVID-19 in wastewater is being conducted by the Children's Hospital of Eastern Ontario and the University of Ottawa. Over the past week, researchers have described finding sky-high levels of the virus. Wastewater is collected 5 days a week and then sent to a lab where levels are tested. Health officials call it a disturbing indicator of just how hard the second wave of the pandemic is hitting the city. Researchers say they're surprised by how much of the virus they're finding, twice as much as in the spring and 3 to 6 times more than just over a week ago. Ottawa is one of 3 hot zones in Canada's most populous province, where tougher restrictions against spreading the virus have been reimposed. For NPR News, I'm Dan Karpinchuk in Toronto.
The warring parties in Yemen are conducting a prisoner exchange, releasing more than 1,000 prisoners. Aid workers hope this could lead to an end to what they call the worst humanitarian disaster in the world. The civil war in Yemen began in 2014 and has killed more than 100,000 people and left millions suffering from food and medical shortages. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.